complicated. Lou and I made the conscious decision to move to GCN because of its classy lineup and leadership.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.
Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, hopefully they're going to be very, very shortly the views of Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. But until Joel gets with us, why, let's talk about some of the things that are going on in the world today. And certainly, President Bush has been making statements suggesting that we cannot allow Iran to get the nuclear bomb. Now, why would he suddenly be talking about that at this stage? And then we find that the people working behind the closed doors and in the smoky rooms are talking about a limited strike on Iran. We're just going to take out the Republican National Guard center close to Iran, close to Tehran. We're not going to hit any of their other sites. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have a limited war with somebody. Once you start a war, you never know how it's going to end. What would happen if some of the bombs just accidentally didn't go where they're supposed to and were to fall on Tehran? And what would happen then if the Iranians were to retaliate after we'd killed a number of their people by killing our people in the green zone, and then the war starts? And when you start a war, you never know how it's going to end. Well, with that as a background, hi, Joel, how are we doing?
I'm just fine, Dr. Stan.
What are we going to talk about today?
Well, let's continue and talk about Iran. I've got that as part of tomorrow's World Affairs Brief. Ken Silverstein asked six questions of Laura Rosen. She's correspondent for Washington Monthly, senior correspondent for the American Prospect, Mother Jones, writes blog on war and peace. He claims she's better informed and sourced than just about anyone writing on Iran and consistently breaks news and offers smart analysis. I disagree. Here's what her answers are. He asked her, how would you describe the Bush administration's strategy towards Iran? And she says, the policy has been somewhat paralyzed by Iraq. I mean, this is just ludicrous. I don't know where she comes from, but it's not at all been paralyzed. It's been, how should I say, leveraged off of Iraq to be able to, blame everything they can possibly do on Iran. She claims that there's an internal argument inside the administration between those who advocate regime change, meaning invasion, and those that advocate behavior change, claiming to be led by Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, the moderate, you know, who is championing behavior change. You know, this is just so much propaganda that she gets from the privilege of talking to those people on the inside. Well, anybody who talks to someone inside the White House is obviously going to get a propaganda statement. And in return for continued access, she has to, of course, parrot that stuff into the public media. She says there's a second track of U.S. policy to Iran that involves promoting democracy over the longer term. She's talking about listening posts in other countries with larger Iranian communities, talking about Radio Farsi or Liberty Iran, which is broadcasting Farsi. Supposedly some $66 million are going to that futile policy. He asked her who are the major players in the regime change camp, and she does get that right. She talks about Abram Shulsky, who formerly led the controversial Office of Special Plans, I mean, this is essentially the neocon office about attack plans on other countries, which is headquarters in the vice president's office. Of course, she mentions that the vice president's office is to be skeptical that Tehran will alter its nuclear plans. She talked about those who worked for Liz Cheney, the vice president's daughter at the State Department, also favor regime change, an attack on Iran. There's no question there. Also on Syria.
All right, hang on to that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen. Remember, of course, the war really, of course, they've always talked about both Iran and Syria, that they were one, and I think if we go to war with one, we'll go to war with both of them. Heaven help us, and heaven help Israel. We'll be right back.
As the old saying goes, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you give him a Berkey system, you give him the ability to obtain purified water for a lifetime. This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget. And more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get a discount, but in one stop, you can get gifts for the entire family. That's BerkeyWater.com or call 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you have greater exposure to these chemicals while taking hot showers than when drinking the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate and others are absorbed into the skin. The KDF Dual Media Shower Filter works with both hot and cold water and is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus. The KDF Dual Media Shower Filter typically lasts 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF Shower Filter normally, $49 for our special price of only $39.99 with free shipping. Call the Berkey Guy and order now by calling 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or simply click on the banner at gcnlive.com to order online now.
Fact: rapid industrialization has resulted in environmental pollution, and its curse on world health is staggering. We live in a toxic world that is bombarded by 7 new chemicals each day. The human body is amazing and efficient in design, but because of the polluted world in which we live, is unable to remove all toxins. The solution: detoxification integrated with Electro Chi Premier Energy Foot Spa. The Electro Chi Premier Energy Foot Spa helps to aid in cleansing the body of harmful toxins while energizing and oxygenating your entire body at the cellular level. Detoxification works with the Electro Chi Premier Energy Foot Spa because it addresses the needs of individual cells, the building blocks of human life. For mental clarity, restored vitality, a stronger immune system, clear skin, and health in every aspect of your being, order your Electro Chi Premier Energy Foot Spa by visiting NutraMedical.com or call Dr. William Deagle at 888-212-8871, 888-212-8871.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief, and of course, we're talking about Iran. What about Iran? What is America going to do about Iran? If we do something about Iran, will we go to war with Syria as well? Can we afford another war at this time? What would be the complications, the implications as far as the price of oil if we should go to war? Do we really need to attack Iran? Is Iran really a threat to the United States? You go ahead and pick up this story there, Joel.
Well, I don't believe Iran is a threat to the United States, and it's perhaps a long-term threat to Israel, but Israel is... been busy, stirring up its own hornet's nest there in the Middle East. I think it's a pipe dream that there'll ever be peace between Arabs and Israelis. There's just too much bad blood going on, and there's too much rabble-rousing that goes on, creating and fomenting that hatred. But I clearly agree with you that both Iran and Syria are the targets. This will It looks more and more, after judging by the president's performance there in the Middle East, who's visiting Israel right now, that he's going to give Israel the go-ahead to do the attack on Iran. It was, how should I put it, you know, the president certainly was on the stump this week in Israel. He said that nuclear Iran would be unforgivable, that negotiating with Iranian President Ahmadinejad, of course alluding to Barack Obama suggesting that he'd negotiate with Iran, would be equal to appeasement of Hitler prior to World War II. And, of course, Obama reacted with indignation at the comparison. But, you know, it was no coincidence either that global Meister Henry Kissinger was in Jerusalem at the same time the president was there, harping on Iran, saying a nuclear-armed Iran threatens not only the existence of Israel, but the viability of the international community. I mean, this is just so much provocation. There's no way that Iran threatens the viability of the international community. In fact, destabilizing Iran threatens the international viability of the entire Arab community, which deals very much with Iran. There's a lot of trade also with within the European Union to Iran. He says everybody speaks of unacceptability. You know, he must have, he meant unforgivability. He must have coordinated with Bush's remarks. But no one speaks out about how to breach it and how and what time frame. And Kissinger said, adding, "It will. This threat will not go away." So Kissinger egged on the U.S. or the Israeli military by saying that if something was not done soon with Iran, there would be multinational proliferation of nuclear weapons with catastrophic potential. Well, who is the proliferator of nuclear weapons? It's the United States. It's the one that gave nuclear weapons to Russia. It's the one, of course, who didn't protest when Russia then gave that to you know, China and North Korea, and is still playing games with North Korea, letting them have the easy road to capitulation and peace, whereas it's the hard line with Iran, even though there's no proven nuclear program with them other than our own skewed intelligence, which is done for political purposes. So I think that there's more to this these constant meetings going on in Israel than supposedly trying to push the peace process, which is never going anywhere. I think they are preparing for war, and I think they simply, Israel is simply engaged with Syria in the pretensions of peace talks, as well as the United States doing the pretensions of some minor talks with Iran so that they can justify going to war. But I think it looks more and more likely the U.S. is not going to be able to justify starting it. They'll have to wait for Israel to do it.
Well, that's a frightening thing to contemplate, but I fear very much that you're right. And the other information we have suggests it's only a matter of time before we go to war with Iran, which doesn't make any sense because, of course, the implications and the complications and the ramifications of this is simply beyond the ability of most people to understand. But this could certainly skyrocket the price of oil, and we think oil is expensive now. You just wait and see what happens if we end up attacking Iran. And then, of course, how do you stop the war? Once you get a war started, how do you stop it? And that would be the question. And do we really want to antagonize the entire Islamic world? Maybe we won't antagonize the puppet governments we have over there, but the average Muslim is going to be furious with the United States if we start slaughtering more in the way of their brothers.
Well, and this will be a war of quick slaughter. I mean, the United States will take the same thing that Israel did in Lebanon. They'll attack civilian infrastructure. They'll attack all military targets within Iran, as well as their nuclear facilities. It's going to be a major attack on infrastructure, just like in Syria, just like in Lebanon, and it will create a great deal of hatred. In my general theory, that's the purpose of these wars of intervention. Nothing to do with democracy. It has everything to do with provoking hatred against the United States so as to justify Russia and China attacking this country someday. And through that, of course, our globalist leaders will come out of their bunkers and get their vaunted New World Order. As we talked about last week, it's very interesting, however, that you know, it does not look like the New World Order will plan on using the UN to prosecute World War III. They're making moves already through none other than John McCain to establish a League of Democracies, finally separating out the allied nations without Russia and China or the other communist nations so as to have a unified front against the new emerging or continuing Soviet Union that we've always warned about still exists. And so I think this is very real. Even David Rothkopf's book on the superclass talks about that as a strategy, that we're not going to go for world government anymore. We're going to just go for global governance. And in order to get global governance through, you know, this, you've got to have a more benign appearing entity to operate as global governance than the current UN. And I fear that many conservatives would be suckered into the proposition of dumping the UN in favor of a friendly League of Democracies, thinking that, in fact, that finally the government was doing what they wanted, that is, dumping our thing, our allegiance with the UN. I can see a lot of conservatives getting snookered by this, but you have to ask yourself the question, why is it that the administration, and the Republicans in particular, have always railed against the idea and viewed it as extreme to get out of the UN, and yet when they come up with a strategy, suddenly it becomes popular? It shows that they're using it for purposes. It's just like the Vietnam War. They could have put out all kinds of support our troops bumper stickers, could have drummed up patriotism. They did not. They allowed this war to become extremely unpopular. That war to be extremely unpopular, and then it's the opposite. When it's their war, when it's their war of intervention around the world, then suddenly it's super patriotic, and everyone must go along. But you know, you're right, Dr. Stan, about the manipulation of fuel. It's going to skyrocket with any war in the Middle East. It's well and good that Congress stopped filling the U.S. strategic oil reserve. The reason I say that is because the U.S. already has billions of barrels in the ground in Alaska, entire oil fields that are capped and drilled and kept off the marketplace. They don't need any more. The filling of the strategic petroleum reserve, in my opinion, is merely one more attempt to keep fuel in short supply to justify price increases. For some reason, the government, in collusion with the oil companies, wants massive price increases in oil. There is a conspiracy to raise fuel prices, and it is pernicious. No one's targeting the collusion we see daily between the oil companies. They keep targeting gas taxes, which is only 16% of oil and going lower as a percentage. It was there was a very interesting blog on the Baltimore blog by Fred Cederholm, who said, you know, I tracked the last gas price very closely. There must have been some price strategy for all of the fuel retailers within a two-hour period to raise the price exactly 13 cents a gallon. Now, think about that, Dr. Stan. Every retailer in the Baltimore area within a two-hour period rose their prices 13 cents. Now, how do they communicate that?
Well, I'll tell you what. You remember when we had Hurricane Katrina? And, you know, the next day after Katrina hit, here on the West Coast, all the prices were jacked up 10, 15 cents a gallon. I mean, and, you know, certainly you knew that the oil and gasoline had been in the pipeline was still there. There was no shortage at all. It was simply manipulated. When Lee Raymond, the head of Exxon, was asked about this, he said, well, don't you think it was a good idea we got those prices up, because that way people would use less gasoline, and of course then we would not be getting into a real shortage, because of course so many of the oil wells out there in the Gulf were damaged. It was a good thing we raised the prices so that there would be no shortages. Wasn't that benevolent of the oil companies? And how many billions of dollars did they make? Well, Lee Raymond was given a $400 million bonus when he left Exxon as the CEO for services rendered to the corporation.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, you know, Fred Cederholm was on the web before this gas price hit, didn't see anything abnormal. There was no crisis. There was no shortage. There was nothing. There was nothing afterwards. He immediately went back to his computer after he filled up at the lower prices as the prices were going up, and went back, and then nothing. And, later the media always feeds something like oil prices rose today on the instability that is viewed in Nigeria. Well, there really isn't any instability. I mean, there's always instability in Nigeria, but there was nothing particularly that day that was different. You know, this is much like the servile explanations they give about the stock market going up. They say the stock market went up on news that General Motors performed less worse than was it anticipated, you know.
And the people actually believe it.
But, you know, and I think you've interviewed Lindsay Williams before, haven't you?
Yes, I have, many times. Many times, in fact. We're having on him again one more time this week, but I've interviewed him twice recently.
Well, you know, my readers have not been exposed a lot to that, but I think his evidence is just overwhelming that there is a huge oil field called the Gull Island oil field that, combined with a couple of others they've discovered outside of the Arctic National Wilderness, I mean, this isn't tied up in environmental concerns, has been drilled and discovered, fully explored, and is ready to tap, and the government has ruled it classified and told these oil companies to cap it. And worse yet, of course, the oil companies are just keeping mum about it. They should be yelling bloody murder that the United States is forcing them to keep this huge oil field capped. The public needs to demand the opening of the Gull Island oil field. You know, he was a personal witness. Lindsay Williams was, of course, a volunteer chaplain in the Alaskan oil field. He was so successful, apparently.
Well, hold on, Tom. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Dead enders for Midas, May 15, 2008. Gold, $873.70 ounce. Gold coins can be purchased for $899.33, $443.05 for half, $221.53 for quarter. That's $899.33, $443.05 for half, $221.53 for quarter. The Chinese government has begun a campaign of economic threats against the U.S., hinting liquidation of its vast holdings of U.S. treasuries, responding to Washington's trade sanctions, forcing the Yuan Revolution. Communist Party bodies are warning that Beijing may use its 1.33 trillion reserves as a political weapon, causing bond yields to spike, hammering the U.S. housing market and throwing the economy into a recession. Russia, Switzerland, and several other countries have reduced their holdings due to this threat. Economist Ambrose Evans Pritchard published the report, China Threatens Nuclear Option of Dollar Sales. Call for the report today, 800-686-2237. The value of your hard-earned money is being lost in a global game of chess. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
Attention, GCN listeners. Would you like to watch uncensored, unregulated, even banned TV on your computer? Well, now you can watch satellite TV on your PC with an extremely simple hookup that allows computer owners to pick up more channels than any sane person can even watch without paying monthly cable or satellite fees. Here's the story. New video feed technology lets anyone with a high-speed internet connection gain instant access to an endless list of underground channels from all over the globe. And here's the best part. It's 100% legal. And it works at home, the office, or even in other countries to grab television channels and video feeds at your command. GCN listeners can use it to watch hundreds of conspiracy videos absolutely free. Best of all, you could be watching free TV on your PC in 5 minutes or less. It's that simple. Just go to www.orderfreetv.com. That's www.orderfreetv.com. To watch unregulated TV on your PC, go to www.orderfreetv.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, Cynthia Joel was talking about Lindsay Williams just before we went to the break. And actually, of course, I always like to check things out myself. And so I asked for the names of some of the people there that had been on the Alaska Pipeline with Lindsay. And one of them was a man named Mr. Jim Lawler. So I tracked him down, talked to him, and he confirmed everything Lindsay said about the Gull Island oil field. And one of the things he said to me, I'll never forget, he said, you know, I've never figured why they've never developed that oil field, a massive oil field up there, and we could use that oil to bring the prices down. Why? I never could figure out why they haven't developed it. Well, of course, I could have told him, you develop the oil field, you have plenty of oil, you have abundance of oil. That's the last thing that the oil companies want. When you got abundance, your price goes down. When you got shortage, the price goes up. Which do you think the oil company executives want? Higher prices and more profits, or lower prices and less profits? And, well, Jim Lawler confirmed to me personally exactly what Lindsay Williams had said.
Well, of course, it isn't, interestingly enough, the oil companies that are behind us. Lindsay Williams was present at the meeting where they discussed the public announcement when they had just put together all the data and said, yep, the field is proven, we'll make an announcement that we've just made a huge major oil find in Alaska, in the Prudhoe Bay area. And this was Ken Frohm, who was the chief operating officer for Atlantic Richfield in Alaska, and he was the one who had invited Williams to the meeting. Williams was there, heard everything there, and this was going to be a great discovery. He called him back a couple of days later and said, look, I made a mistake in inviting you to the meeting. This stuff has been ruled classified by the U.S. government, and they've ordered us to cap this oil field. And that's exactly what happened. And Williams refused to abide by the gag order and went public in his book, The Energy On Crisis. Ken Frohm, in fact, was finally fired by Atlantic Richfield for allowing Williams access to the meeting and for helping to correct details of Williams' book's technical details before it went to press. Eventually, Frohm was hired back, but he never, it was with the agreement he would never mention this oil field. But he did tell Williams that the powers that be were making sure that his book would be suppressed and would not get any major establishment media coverage. And that's why we need to just love to see, you know, a reporter who had the courage to ask the president, what about the Gull Island oil field, Mr. President? Why don't you open that up at a news conference?
Well, I would not hold my breath waiting for that to happen.
No, I certainly wouldn't. Well, you know, there's all kinds of excuses. You know, your listeners might be interested to say or to know that even almost all of the Alaskan crude oil is shipped to Japan. It isn't used here in the United States. And they give the excuse to the public that Prudhoe Bay oil is too high in sulfur to use within the United States to refine. But it isn't true at all. He says, I've got the data right here. The sulfur content is 0.9%. And that's, you know, in a low comparison to oil from other sources in the U.S. as well as many other foreign oils. The U.S. has always used oil that quality of sulfur, and they have the refining capability to remove it now. But, you know, there are reasons why the United States imports all of its oil and then ships its domestic oil abroad. It just doesn't make sense, but there are agendas that have nothing to do with the efficient production of oil. And this would be counterintuitive, of course, to, you know, oil companies to ship, to go to the expense of importing oil and ship our native oil out to Japan, but they aren't working for the best interests of our country. They're working for globalist interests. And in the process, of course, they're being made very, very wealthy because of this price increase, which is about to go up astronomically, I feel, when an attack on Iran occurs. So moving to another subject, Dr. Stan, of course, Lebanon has fallen to the Hezbollah. I mean that correctly, even though the Signoria government is still technically in power in Lebanon. It suffered a humiliating defeat this week in the armed confrontation with Hezbollah guerrillas, who, in exchange for crucial concessions of continuing autonomy for Hezbollah's command and control telephone system, are allowing the Signoria government to stay in power and save face. There's nothing more than a safe face save. For years, the Druze leader, Walid Jumblatt, a member of parliament, one of the leaders in Lebanon's coalition government, had been a top U.S. ally, and now he says the U.S. has no power here. There are no reliable allies. We've all had to go over to the other side. Jumblatt, of course, was known for he's called the weather vane there in Lebanese, for being able to steer his followers through the ever-changing winds of Middle East politics. He was formerly a vassal of the Syrian Assad regime, then he switched his loyalty to the during the Reagan administration to Israel, and then to the Bush administration, and now he's having to kowtow to Hezbollah.
All right, hang on there. We'll be back in just a minute. Our guest is Joel Skousen from World Affairs. Brief.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Elizabeth Border, author of the two-book set, America Attacked and Chaos and Chemtrails. I wrote these books because I believe that every American should have the vital chemtrails research info. I was much heartened and encouraged when a radio listener recently wrote me, quote, "You are truly a great writer, so clear and powerful and thorough in your communication. You have the strength to forge ahead in the midst of darkness, and you also believe in the power of goodness and truth." I hope you listeners will order these crucial books. Send your check for $32 post-paid to Radio Liberty, P.O. Box 969, Soquel, S-O-Q-U-E-L, California, 95073. $32 to Radio Liberty, Box 969, Soquel, California, 95073. Or call 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps, as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is not available. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for a flexible source of auxiliary backup power. Simply place the Berkey Solar Charger in the sun, plug in your application, and you have power. Disconnect your application, and the system automatically begins charging its own rechargeable batteries. Get the incredible Berkey Solar Charger for only $75 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Joel Skousen. And before we go on, I want Joel to tell you how you can get a copy of his World Affairs Brief and perhaps subscribe as I do. Joel, why don't you tell them a little bit about your publication and why they should get it?
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. The World Affairs Brief is really quite unique out there in the conservative right of the Internet. Of course, I am in opposition to President Bush, who I believe is a phony conservative. Also, I'm the only one out there on the web that has a general theory that proposes why our nation continues to support communist revolutions around the world, why it continues to antagonize the world and in the Middle East, in order to use a Hegelian dialectic to provoke another Third World War. I've was one of the first to come out and say that the fall of the Soviet Union was a carefully crafted deception. And I have covered extensively all of the evidence of cover-up engaged in by the United States government as the best evidence that there is a dedicated conspiracy to take down American liberty and finagle us into a new world order. All of this is found woven into my analysis each week of the World Affairs Brief, wherein I take apart the best news stories of what's going on and try to help my readers to understand what the real agenda is behind the scenes, behind the propaganda that we hear. As we've talked here in this newscast, you know, the real purpose of going into Iraq had nothing to do with democracy or removing Saddam. This was the CIA's tyrant that they created. It had everything to do with antagonizing the Muslim world, as well as locking up and controlling another portion of the world's oil, and not just for oil company greed. These things all have strategic reasons relative to the next war that is coming between Russia and China and the West. But they can, subscribers or listeners can get a sample copy of the World Affairs Brief to see if they'd like to subscribe. There's a modest fee for the World Affairs Brief all year long, and they can get a copy by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com, and I'll be happy to send them out a free sample issue.
Okay, very good, and I certainly would commend it to our listeners. I certainly, first thing I do in the morning after I read my emails is go to the website, World Affairs Brief, and read an analysis of what happened during the previous evening and what's happening on that day, and then of course I always look forward to getting Joel's weekly correspondence, a weekly report on by email, and of course it really brings you abreast of so many of the fascinating things that are happening that you don't have the time to analyze, but fortunately he does that for us. So pick up the story from there, Joel.
So we're talking about Lebanon, and Hezbollah had begun its campaign of against the Lebanese puppet government, and they call it a puppet government because it's very obvious that it's run by the United States. It's supposed to be anti-Syrian and anti-Hezbollah. And it accused, of course, the government continually of being a puppet of America and planning to isolate and disarm the anti-Israeli militia, Hezbollah. But until last week, Hezbollah, you know, had been left alone by the government. It had said it would never use its weapons against fellow Lebanese. So when the Lebanese government moved to close a private Hezbollah telephone communications network, actually it's more complicated than just telephone, it's complete telecommunications, including internet, and they had it all locked up, coordinating military operations, Nasrallah declared an act of war. Hezbollah fighters swung into action, shocking the nation, shut down the nation immediately, and the senioria government was powerless to do anything. And, you know, Jumblatt, who has always been this one waffling between the Israelis, the Americans, the Syrians, and the senioria government, was one of the quickest, after he was put under house arrest, to come to an agreement with Hezbollah. And he lashed out at the U.S. He says the U.S. has failed in Lebanon to defend its turf here, and they have to admit it. We have to wait and see the new rules which Hezbollah, Syria, and Iran will set. They control things now. They can do what they want. Of course, in a face-saving solution to Hezbollah, Hezbollah will secure its existence as an armed satellite within a state despite decades of American efforts to prevent Lebanon from being used as a staging ground for operations against Israel. In fact, the reason I think the U.S. is weakened in this aspect is that, you know, the Israel and the Israelis like an enemy to be present so they can justify invasion and conflict that is created through that. I think that's what we're headed for with Iran and Syria. But the Time magazine comments and says the U.S. appears unable to grasp that it no longer has any options or reliable partners left in Lebanon. I'm surprised the Time would be that forthright. American officials make statements about supporting the democratic-elected Lebanese government, but essentially no such government exists anymore, and that's what makes a farce out of the fact that Bush just announced today that he was trying to push for further military aid to the Lebanese government. I mean, where's that aid going to go? It's probably going to go into the hands of Hezbollah. the Lebanese army, many of whose soldiers are Shia Muslims who have relatives in Hezbollah and support the opposition, would split apart if pressed into service against Hezbollah. And American-trained security services value their lives more than the $300 million USAID they've received, and they haven't fired a shot at Hezbollah. So you see, the U.S. really hasn't done much to attack this like they are in going after the Mehdi army and in Sadr City. When they decide to be serious, you know, they go and bomb the hell out of a civilian community, and which, you know, doesn't really solve the war at all. But that shows when the U.S. Decides that they want to remove something, they use brute force, and they're not doing anything to lay a finger on Hezbollah. And neither is Israel either. This is a formidable fighting force.
Okay, well, it looks pretty grim, you know, at one time why Lebanon was known as the Switzerland of the Near East. It was a banking area. I mean, it was beautiful, beautiful tree-lined streets and beaches, and it really was a sort of a paradise. But today, really for the last almost 25, 30 years, it's simply been, you know, one war after another, one slaughter after another, and I feel so sorry for the Lebanese people, both the Christian and the Arab there.
That's right. The commerce has really gone down about to a third of the level that it was in its heyday. Well, last major subject I'll ever cover is Bob Barr's candidacy as a libertarian for president. The former CIA man and Republican congressman says he's launched a committee to seek the presidential nomination of the Libertarian Party. But I don't believe he's a shoe-in by any means, Dr. Stan. His main competition is coming from former Alaskan Democrat Representative Mike Gravel, who has a lot of support in the libertarian community. Despite being coming from the Democratic, he's really kind of eschewed his Democratic views and is really attacking strongly the Bush administration and the Democrats for not stopping this war, which the libertarians are very much in favor. Now, Bush has high ratings from the NRA and is noted for his sponsorship of the Marriage Defense Act of 1996. He is clearly seeking to woo Ron Paul supporters to his cause after the Ron Paul campaign winds down at the Republican convention in September. But Bob's problem in convincing Ron Paul supporters to come his way has more to do with his dubious moral character than with his stated conservative positions, which are fairly solid. Ron Paul supporters are used to dealing with a champion who has unimpeachable moral credentials and standards in both his public and private life. And Barr's record is severely tarnished, I'm afraid. As conservatives know, politicians with lots of moral skeletons in the closet can be leaned on by the powers that be as needed. In short, Bob has been married three times and has had been accused of having extramarital affairs leading to the breakup of two of those marriages. According to Barr's second wife, Gail Barr, the would-be champion of the pro-life movement, paid for and did not object to her having an abortion in 1983. He was also having a secret affair with his current wife while Gail Barr was undergoing cancer treatment. Shades of, you know, Newt Gingrich and John McCain, who did that to their former wives as well. Barr also is reported to have failed to pay child support to the children of his first two wives, and while married to his third and present wife was photographed. Well, I better not, you know, say this on radio, but anyway, he was doing lewd acts with a well-developed stripper at his inaugural party, all for charity, of course. That doesn't speak well of someone who is supposed to become the champion of family and moral values.
I agree.
Well, nevertheless, the GOP is mildly worried that a Barr candidacy could siphon off votes from John McCain in the November election. The Washington Times reported that various mid-level Republican leaders have tried to discourage Barr from running against McCain for the sake of, quote, conservative unity. But Barr counters that. He says, of course, he's been really kind of put out to pasture by the Republicans. They haven't really supported him. In the months since we formed our exploratory committee, Barr said, not a single Republican who has spoken to me to try to convince me not to seek the Libertarian nomination has disagreed with any of my reasons for considering a run. The Times also quoted him as saying, most Republicans who asked him not to run also said they understood why I'd run and why John McCain is not conservative. They will not seriously tackle the growth in government power and spending. I suspect that most of these are fairly conservative members of the Republican Party, like CNP members, who are still wedded to the party itself, Some have even said they would vote for me, Barr said, if I ran, but for the sake of the Republican Party, they would prefer that I didn't. Interesting. But, you know, Bob Barr is not nearly so ideologically consistent as Ron Paul. Ben Pershing writes that if Barr really is disillusioned with the two major parties, he hasn't shown it with his wallet. You know, Bob Barr has lots of money left over from his congressional campaign fund. And Pershing writes that according to Federal Election Commission records, Barr has continued to dole out campaign cash to other Republicans and Democrats who aren't exactly in the same ideological bent as he and Ron Paul. Recipients of Bob Barr's largesse, he said, have included some notably moderate, non-libertarian types like GOP Representative Christopher Shea of Connecticut, Deborah Price of Ohio, and Senator Norm Coleman of Minnesota. His last recorded PAC contribution made in February went to none other than Democrat Representative Tom Allen, candidate for senator in Maine. What do you make of that?
Well, I'd say that if you're putting money into a Democrat's campaign, we have to really ask if he's really a dedicated Republican. Now, is this a conservative Democrat, or do we know anything about this one?
Well, he is taking some conservative positions. I mean, these are not people out of left field, to be sure. But it does show, I mean, Ron Paul, for example, won't even come close to endorsing John McCain or even Bob Barr. So, you know, he has some distrust there, too. But, you know, I've never trusted anyone who worked for the CIA before, unless they were just a low-level clerk.
You know, tell me about Bob Barr's CIA background, because this is the first I've heard about it. When was he in
really?
The CIA?
You didn't realize that he used to work for the CIA.
No, I didn't know that, so tell me about it.
Well, we don't know much about it, except that he did work for the CIA prior to becoming a congressman, and that's always been, you know, a big red flag for me. We have Porter Goss, you know, who he was a CIA agent who was involved in a lot of black operations and then finally ran for Congress and then became the president's point man in cleaning up the opposition in the CIA, supposedly as a reformer. And as I say, you know, nobody who's been former CIA talks about what they did in that, but yes, he did work for several years for the CIA.
And of course, some people say once CIA, always CIA, and of course they do sheep dip an awful lot of people to make them look like they're no longer affiliated, but of course they continue their allegiance.
But, you know, his conduct, you know, morally, multiple wives and affairs and, you know, in his personal life, not having any objections to abortion, is disturbing, because this is the pattern of people who get corrupted within the dark side of government through moral indiscretions. And there's not a few of them that have come out, you know, like Newt Gingrich, and been an absolute wolf in sheep's clothing in the conservative movement. You know, this is a man who wrote a book about God and Christianity to try to weasel his way back into the good graces of Christian ministers, and he has fairly well succeeded. But, you know, it was interesting as I was discussing on the Jeff Renz show the potentials for vice presidential candidates. The Republicans say, no, there's no way he's going to accept Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich doesn't take second fiddle to anyone. In other words, they recognize this is a predator wolf out there hungry for political power, and he's just using his supposed conservative reputation to make waves within this movement. But he certainly betrayed the movement once he got elected. Now, I don't think that Bob Barr is going to, you know, even come close to being elected, nor do I think he's going to be able to get a good deal of the Ron Paul community to come his way. I personally think that Chuck Baldwin of the Constitution Party is the ideal candidate to follow along in Ron Paul's footsteps, and I would hope that Ron Paul at some point would endorse Chuck's candidacy. It might be difficult for him to still maintain his Republican credentials to do so. I'm not sure that Ron will run again, but certainly he wants to maintain his leverage in leading this million-plus strong cadre of supporters and voters and contributors that he has helped build this movement. We owe a great deal of gratitude to Ron Paul, and he still is in a position to exercise a great deal of influence.
I agree with you totally, and I think we should be very, very grateful to Ron Paul for what he has done and reestablishing a conservative movement. And, of course, everybody thought when we got Ronald Reagan in, we'd won the war, but unfortunately we had not. And Ronald Reagan was surrounded with people from the CFR and Trial Outer Commission and carried out their programs very effectively, gave us the biggest debts, the biggest deficits we'd ever had under a conservative Republican president, some of the worst people on the Supreme Court as well.
Yes, and we got some of the worst tax increases, especially the huge Social Security tax increase from which we've never recovered. I mean, people don't realize, besides federal and state taxes, they're paying, just they're and their employees, or if you're self-employed like you and I are, we pay 15% of our income to Social Security, and it's a terrible tax.
In fact, I would simply point out that Ronald Reagan gave us the biggest tax increase of all time. I mean, there's never been such a big tax increase, and yet most people honestly believe that he was against big government and he was involved with the tax cuts. Well, certainly, I just want to remind you, I'm retired, so I appreciate so much you're paying into Social Security. That keeps me my check coming for Medicare and Social Security.
Well, I'm glad it's going to someone who's worthy of that, Dr. Stan.
Well, believe me, it all goes back into the cause. Both my wife and myself take what we get from the government, and we invested in our efforts to educate people across the world about what's really going on and what a privilege it is to have a voice in times like this, and what a privilege it is for me to personally have you as a guest on our program every week. So do you have, you've got about 30 seconds to wrap up the program.
Well, I think we ought to watch very carefully who the GOP chooses as the running mate for. I don't think it's going to be Romney. I think Romney, they know, wants to be president. He will use it as a stepping stone. The establishment isn't about to let a non-insider who's charismatic, who has his own money, to get a leg up on this. They're going to fight him tooth and nail on that. So the one that we will see either will be someone who will be a president to follow along after McCain. They desperately need someone if all they've got is McCain and Giuliani to throw at the American people.
Hey, we're out of time. God bless. Bye-bye.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Now you can enjoy the most delicious, freshest, and healthiest drinking water anytime, even while traveling, during outdoor sporting activities, and in hospital filtration environments such as local or national emergencies. The revolutionary Berkey Light removes pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful or unwanted chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul tastes and odors like that rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals your body needs. The Berkey Light is so powerful it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is transparent and glows in the dark with its rechargeable LED lighting system, so it can be used as a night light or camp light.
Get the Berkey Light purifier for only $279. Call New Millennium 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Hi, this is Dave from Ready Reserve Foods. I have been waiting patiently for the government and mainstream media to inform you of what is turning out to be the biggest problem facing the world in the last 50 years. For the last 3 years, the Earth has consumed more food than it has been able to produce, and it has now finally caught up with us. In the U.S., commodities such as flour and rice are already being rationed, and the next rice crop won't be available for another 4 to 5 months. It's fall in the Southern Hemisphere, and many countries are short the food necessary to make it through the winter and have stopped exporting certain commodities altogether. Remember our trade deficit? Trillions of dollars have stacked up outside the country and are now rushing in to buy our food production at any price. By late summer, if not early fall, it is likely our government will step in and control food and food exports under martial law. Call Ready Reserve Foods at 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit us at www.readyreservefoods.com, 1-800-453-2202.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and I certainly agree with our previous advertisement there that there is a very real problem of food shortages in the United States, and certainly we work with Ready Reserve Foods. We have an embraced relationship with them, and of course anything we make goes back into financing Radio Liberty and getting us on more stations. If you have not laid in a supply of food, and of course basically it's dehydrated food that's packed in nitrogen, they do a great job with that. If you have not laid in a supply, why, give us a call. We'd be glad to send you a catalog. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. But if you have a catalog, and we have literally thousands of catalogs we've sent out, don't put it off. I mean, certainly we do not know when the shortages are going to develop, but we know those shortages are developing, and we know that Ready Reserve Food is having increasing difficulty getting the foods. And so get your order in now. It's going to take time to get it filled, but get it in now, and we'll get it off to you just as soon as we can. The other thing is you need, of course, a Berkey water purifier, and if you don't have one, why, of course, give us a call, and certainly you can get the Big Berkey in every state but California and Iowa, and you get the Berkey Light in every state but Iowa. And so we hope that you'll get yourself that. If you need the other things that are necessary for survival, give us a call. 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you that catalog. And then, of course, you need to be prepared. What would you do if there was a chemical, biological, or a war or a nuclear war? Well, let me suggest you need the DVD, Sheltering in Place. And you need to get it, and you need to watch it, and you need to get a few things in place right now. And you don't want to get a lot of duct tape and the plastic, because you'll suffocate. I mean, that's the stupidest thing in the world. But there are ways to prepare your home or part of your home for survival, and you need to think about it now. And then just hope and pray you never have to use it. We also have a four-tape set on civilian defense. We have a book called Nuclear War Survival Skills. We have certainly another book on making the best of basics. These are the things you need to have on hand to help you make the preparations for the difficult times that lie ahead. But also remember, we can put aside all the wealth we want to and all the supplies. But, of course, the only thing that's really going to get us through this is our faith in the Lord. Believe me, it will be challenged. And the people who have no relationship with the Lord are simply going to fall apart. As this wonderful utopian society we've had the privilege of living in begins to decompensate, we can only hope, of course, at that point people will begin to listen to our message and understand the true spiritual nature of our battle. If you have not yet either read my book or watched my CD, I should say my DVD, The Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. It will begin to introduce you to what's going on. And then, of course, we hope that you'll want to go ahead and give my talk on the forbidden secret, because there is a forbidden secret out there. It's been passed down for 5,000 years. And, of course, it will tell you how to get great wealth and prosperity. But, ladies and gentlemen, you do not want to tap into it, but you need to know it's there. And you need to know how it is that the people who rule us today have accumulated their wealth. And so the forbidden secret, and we recommend you get the syllabus with that. And then right along with that, that you get the DVD on the planned police state, and the syllabus goes with that. And you get the two of them together. You get it at a reduced price. And then, of course, you need to get our talk certainly on in Iraq, the untold story, and the syllabus that goes with that. Because it'll tell you about all the wars of the last century, and they've all been contrived, and so is the one we're involved in today. It's another no-win war. We're not trying to win the war. We're just sending our boys over to fight and bleed and suffer and die, but never be allowed to win the war. And if you doubt that, go to my website, radioliberty.com, and pull down my December 2007 newsletter with a talk given by Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez. That's December 2007. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WARREN. Remember, we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men, and the survival of Christian civilization. Please pray for America, pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision, and for our protection. And we'll be back in a moment.